Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the 2019 LSC AEN ordination training. And at LSC AEN, we use a lot of initials, but just so that you know and you're familiar with this, is Laborers for Christ. Apostolic, so that I will know too. There's the Apostolic Ecumenical Network. We had shared with you the formation and the gold of the organization, the AEN, when it was established, what it represents, as well as your association with it and the responsibility that you have, bare minimum, for a year, another year, during the ordination for other candidates. You make yourself available to be an accountability partner. You take with you some of the experience you've had as a candidate, and you're able to share the adventure with someone that is new. You are more familiar, and it's very fresh in your mind. Some of the things that you endured, that you went through, what you had to overcome, some of your joys, your revelation, just the realization of what God is doing in your life. And so you can give them the encouragement and the support they need and help hold them accountable. And so we do want to make sure that everything we're sharing with you, if you're not sure what it means, you don't understand, or, you know, you may say, well, what is that? I need you to share that with us so that we can get that information. Because if you think about it, I am sure it is a question for other people as well. There are no bad questions. Anytime there's anything that you need clarity on, please, please, the reason we are here is so that this process will be exciting, fulfilling, and a positive spiritual experience. It's a joy for us to partner with you and to walk alongside of you and to present to you the format that was given the apostle as it relates to preparing leaders for being licensed, ordained, and consecrated. So we're going to open
up. I gotta go.
Pardon? We open up with prayer. Elder Sharita, who's up for prayer today?
Archbishop Isaac.
Amen.
Hey, man, I was waiting for my theme music, but clearly I didn't get none, so okay.
No hurry. Well, hold on. I can give it to you. And
okay.
That's my song. Okay, go ahead.
That's a Bishop Isaac song. Oh, man.
Absolutely.
Let us bow our heads. Let's go into prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for every opportunity, oh God, to come and serve you. God, we just want to say that we love you. God, we are so honored, oh Heavenly Father, that you are our Lord, you are our God, and you just allow us to be a part of your process. God, thank you for what you're doing in this end time, oh God, just within each and every one of us, oh God, as you are preparing the candidates for the mission fields to do the work that you have called forth, which is near and dear to your heart. And so, God, as you continue to empower and strengthen us, oh God, to go forth in your holy name, thank you for the visionary, oh God, that you have entrusted with your heart in these matters, oh God. Thank you, oh God, for the overseer, oh God, and the counsel, oh God, in providing instruction. Thank you for what you're just doing throughout this whole organization, oh God. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge your presence in our lives and even on this call. Have your own way. Direct, open our mouths, open up our minds, oh God, and reveal fresh revelation, oh God. And we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Archbishop. And we'd like to, Bishop started his prayer with we bow our heads. And so that leads us into our study for today. We want to look at the prayer postures, and we want to look at the prayer watches. I encourage everyone to beseech the Lord so that you will know your prayer watch, and then we will go over some of the scriptural support of each prayer watch and why it is geared towards a specific thing. So there are many ways. One of the things I think the church has gotten away from is to reverence a time of prayer. And so often during a service in the sanctuary or wherever, when prayer is going on, you know, we need to honor that communication with the congregation and God by not walking. Even if we don't stand, but to not walk, because that's rude. If someone is talking to you and you're walking around, you know, it is just a rude thing. And so I think God deserves the reverence and respect of us, his word being read and prayer being released to him. And so we want to remember those things. Sometimes it's difficult in services because the services are so spontaneous. You're not really sure, are they praying or are they making a declaration and that sort of thing. And just being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, I believe that he certainly will let us know what is appropriate at that time. So we want to look at some of the postures for prayer. Each one of these postures for prayer has a scripture associated with it. And I would like for you to look it up and look up any other scripture as it relates to any one of these five prayer postures. Okay? First one, standing. It is a way of honoring the presence of another and giving him your full attention. So just in standing, so I said during the service, you know, that is a way to honor God, to stand. This comes out of Genesis 18 and 22. So I want someone to look it up, and later on I want you to read the scripture as it relates to Genesis 18 and 22 and the prayer position of standing. And then the next one is outstretched arms. Lifting up our arms or hands pulls our awareness towards heaven. It is a posture that opens the core of our body towards God. And it's found in Psalms 141 and 2. Then the uplifted eyes. Looking up to the heavens with eyes open draws our attention above earthly realities to eternal truths. This is found in John 17 and 1, uplifted eyes. And then kneeling. Kneeling is a way we express humility and reverence, to kneel in prayer. And that comes from Mark 1 and 40. And then the prostrate prayer, lying face down or bowing low to the ground, reminds us that we were, or low to the earth, reminds us that we were created from dust, and to dust we will return. It is a posture of submission and obedient worship. And we can find that in Psalms 72 and 11. I do hope that at least five people have looked up these scriptures as it relates to these prayer postures. And then we're going to hear you read the scripture that this is based on, and there are many more. But this is just the beginning of them. All right? So we can have the first person, and then if you don't volunteer, I'm going to choose you. Okay? So, don't everybody say something at once. Okay, how about the last four digits, 3261? 3261. Well, we know you're on the line. If for some reason you're not able to put your phone to a speaker, or if you don't have a Bible with you, though everybody has a cell phone, and everybody is always looking in a cell phone for scriptures. But we need someone for the scripture.
Overseer, could you please repeat the Genesis scripture? This is Pastor Marlette.
Yes, Genesis 18 and 22. That's for standing. 18 and 22. That's the first book of the Bible, Genesis. One of your questions, do you know the names of the books in the Bible? And in order, that always helps us study better. And this one's an easy one because it's the first one.
Amen. Genesis 18:22. Can you hear?
Yes.
It says, at this point, the men turned and headed toward Sodom when Abraham remained, standing before the Eternal One. Again, at this point, the men turned and headed toward Sodom while Abraham remained standing before the Eternal One. Genesis 18:22, standing.
Amen. Okay, but next time you just keep driving. You don't have to. You know. All right, who's going to give us the next one? And you know, when you read this, I need you to see what was going on because certain positions will enhance the focus that you may have. So there are certain things that as you're facing them, and you're going through and on your journey, you know, it says pray without ceasing. And so there may be times when you can't really just bow down or get prostrate before the Lord or stretch your arms out or whatever. But just in standing in the midst of something and focusing your attention on the presence of God and giving him that fullness, and it helps you as you get the victory and strength to continue to walk and not turn back, you know, not look at the chaos that's around you. So the next one, outstretched arm, Psalms 131.
I'll take it, Overseer.
Yes.
Minister Cynthia.
Okay.
Okay, so this is a prayer. This is a part of a prayer for maturity. 141 and 2 says, let my prayer be like incense offered before you, and my uplifted hands like the evening sacrifice.
Amen. Amen. You almost get chills when you hear something like that. You come to worship and to be aware of heaven. And I love it because it says it opens the core of our body towards God. That's where our heart is. You know, that's the seat of the belly that the rivers of living water flow from. That's your core. And outstretched arms up to heaven, that's one of the things that it pulls out. Okay, uplifted eyes, John 17 and 1. John 17 and 1.
I'll do it, Overseer.
Thank you.
After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed.
Amen. That is such a small verse, and yet it is the example of the Savior that gave him the power and strength that he needed. And so he said, you draw your attention above the earthly realities by lifting your eyes, you know, look to the hills from which cometh your help, to eternal truths. And when you're walking as a leader, these eternal truths, these spiritual facts of faith are the greatest weapons that you will have. So we should know them. We should seek them out. And we should seek out any example that the scripture gives us so we have a model to follow. So now let's go to Mark 1 and 40. Kneeling. Mark 1 and 4. Mark 1 and 4. Kneel.
And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. And we have one left, and that's prostrate. That is Psalm 72 and 11. Psalm 72 and 11. I'm going to wait.
It says, may all kings bow down to him and all nations serve him.
Amen. Amen. All right. So I just want us to keep in mind some of these positions, postures of prayer, and I do want each one to look for further scriptures under each one of these postures. And you're going to be called on next week to give the what you come up with, okay? So let's come prepared, all right? All right. So we'll take a break and go to Elder Sherita. Well, she has a lot of information for us, so I think we'll just go to the presenters for today. We will go to the presenters for today. So we asked Elder Sherita, who's our presenters today?
You know what? I'm not sure who the presenters are because we ended with her.
So, they know who they
Bishop,
are.
I'm prepared for presenting today. This is Sunil Kadari, pastor from California. So if I'm allowed, I can present myself today.
All right. Well, let me give Pastor Sunil a proper introduction. So, ladies and gentlemen, tonight calling from the west side of this wonderful country, definitely from Fremont, California, if I'm not mistaken, Fremont, California, and he is the pastor of the Telugu Christian Church. Their mission to bring the Bay Area people of India to a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and to help them become fully devoted followers. They have plans to grow to become a church over 300 worshipers and will increase the world impact by supporting Christian missions and other para-ministries in South India. Their vision is to be faithful in sharing the gospel, provide a place of fellowship for South Indian Telugu community believers, preach the word of God in Telugu language, worship in Telugu language, observe the Lord's Supper, encourage one another, and build spiritual leaders. His wife's name is Shravanti Goda. He has three wonderful sons, Jacob, Joshua, and Jaden. And he himself is an IT engineer. And so he's been pastoring out there for a minute and just doing everything that God has called him to do in this season of his wonderful life. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce to you, I think he's from Hyderabad City in South India, now living in Fremont City, California, Pastor Sunil Kamasi.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bishop. Thanks for introducing me. That's wonderful, you know, words that you put there for me. Thank you so much.
No problem. Laura is yours, Pastor Sunil.
Oh, okay, sure. So, I've been, you know, informed for having the topic. Can you hear me?
You're kind of breaking up.
Oh, okay. Is it okay now?
Okay.
Okay. So I'd like to start with a small prayer and then get into the topic that what I'm presenting today. Dear Lord, I'm praying for all the bishops, pastors, and leaders on this call. I pray that you help us to have a blessed experience to prepare for upcoming ordination. Help us remember that we can do all these things that need to be done through you, and knowing that you will provide for all of our needs, Lord. Help us to give our time and talent and to encourage others to do the same. I pray through Jesus. Amen. So the topic of that I wanted to bring it to all of us today is given to me is a path. I was meditating on this subject and I was asking God to provide me, you know, what should I be going through with this particular topic. And God, I was really amazed to see how God provided the path in front of me, and the words, the thoughts that what He brought up to me, so that we can all be blessed with that, you know, God, word of God. So we know that when we have walking on this on this life, we always have to make the choices, and the choices are always are going to be twofold, that we can make the choices based on the way many people are making their choices, or we can make the choices based on what the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be telling us to what is the right path that we should be walking on there. So God has always put in front of us the two paths, and He expects us to go through the path what He has chosen to us, and not the worldly path, the worldly path what the many people are following. Yes, if we can read from the Matthew 7, the Jesus Christ is very clear in terms of like what term, what path that we should be going through. Matthew 7:13, I'm reading here. Matthew 7:13, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to the destruction, and many enter through it. And the 14th verse reads as, but small is the gate and the narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. By looking at these scriptures, it's very clear that this is what is happening, especially in America or in our lives as of today, that we can see that many, as the Matthew 7:13 verse says, that many will choose the wider gate, a wider path, where, you know, the way the wider path is that it looks easy, it looks all comfort, it takes us to, you know, all the comfort zones, and it takes us through the happy life we think of, that we can do any kind of things and we can be away from the Lord way, and that's the path many are choosing nowadays today. Because the narrow path, what which leads to the life, is not many people are would like to opt for it, or not many people are like to choose for it. So that's the kind of path what we see this in front of us, that when we see the audience, when we see our congregations, when we see our fellow brothers and sisters, how they are choosing their path. We always have to make the choices in our life, that whether we will be choosing one or the other, but that will be our destination. So here on the scriptures it says that the broader the gate, it leads to the destruction. That itself will, it is clear that it is the destination is going to be destruction there. And the narrow the gate is what it leads to the life. So the Lord has, by his grace, that he has opened up the gate to the narrow gate, and through Lord Jesus Christ only it was possible, it is possible that we can enter through this narrow gate, that we are not really qualified to enter into this narrow gate, but through Lord Jesus Christ, we are, because he has paid the price, and because he has paid the price, that narrow gate has become possible for all of us to enter through it. And by choosing the path to living way, that Psalm 16 says that you make known to me the path of life, you will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. So choosing the living way is going to give us, you know, the complete joy. So the world is looking out for the complete joy. The world is looking out, all the many people who are adopting the broader way are trying to choose the, trying to walk in this broader way, and expecting that, you know, they can be, you know, they can be enjoying, or they can fulfill their life with a complete joy. But in this world, it's never possible to get that complete joy. And the scripture clearly says on Psalm 16 that only the way what Lord Jesus Christ is showing us is going to give us the complete joy. And he is the one who is going to make that path for all of us. And when we wanted to walk in this narrow path where there's a lot of opposition, or there's a lot of, there's not many people who have been or who are following on this narrow way, we think that it's very so hard. It's very hard that we can follow on this narrow way. But our Lord Jesus Christ is not really left us alone, and he promised us through his scriptures, say in the John 10, that he is the one who is going to be walking in front of us, and by looking at him, by stepping into his steps, footsteps, that we can walk along with him and in his way, so that we can get to the destination of what Lord Jesus Christ just wanted all of us to be walking in that. We read the John 10, 3 and 4. I'm reading the John 10, 3 and 4, that the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. The fourth verse, when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. So we can only, when we know, when we hear his voice, then we can hear that way, then only we can recognize his voice, and we can follow on his way. And he is walking in front of them, no matter how difficult this narrow path is, how difficult this life is going to teach us to walk in this narrow path. But we all know that the destination is full of joy, and the Lord Jesus Christ is waiting for us, and he is standing at the gate, and he's helping us to lead us all through this into the narrow gate there. And what we are, remember when we are going through ups and downs, when we are going through the tough situations, and when we are walking in the Lord Jesus Christ's ways, it always looks tough, but we are not alone. And the Lord Jesus has hired us, and he is walking in front of us, so that we don't have to fear, or we don't have to stumble in our ways there. And today's burden that what I have personally, especially when I was looking at some of the South Indian community, especially who are coming from the South India. So a lot of people are non-Christians. So a lot of people, they don't know the Christianity, or they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. They know there is another religion as part of the culture, but they don't know who the Jesus is. So my burden is to have this truth, the right path, that to teach all these my fellow brothers and sisters here who are non-believers or were not introduced to the gospel, and make sure that we are not just preaching them the broader way of all the happiness, what the broader way is on this earth, but we are going to, burden is to preach them the harder way when we are walking through the narrow gate, but the destination is so full of joy. We read from the Isaiah 43 that we should always forget our past, what has been so far, whatever the path that we have chosen, whatever the path that we are walking as of now. It's always good for us, that well, good for anyone who is walking in this broader way or walking in the worldly way, to leave that and get to the living way, what God Jesus Christ is showing us. And Isaiah 43 reads that, forget the former, Isaiah 43:18, I'm reading, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing, now it springs up, do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. So Lord Jesus Christ is promising us that he is going to make our way through the wilderness and the streams in this wasteland, so that we can be assured that we don't have to worry about our past. We can forget our past. We can forget however the path we were in, but we can assure that we can choose to go into the right path, and we can get to the right path for his name's sake. The Psalms 23 says that, Psalm 23, third verse, it says that he refreshes my soul, he guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. So for his name's sake, that we have to come on to be, for on through his name, that we have to come on to the right path. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, the fourth verse says that, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. That's a great assurance for all of us, that he is with us and he can make us our ways right, and the destination of our right path through the Lord Jesus Christ is entering into the heaven, and Lord Jesus Christ is waiting at the gate for all of us to choose that path and live this life on the right path. Thank you. That's some of the thoughts what I wanted to bring it up.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you so much. Very thorough, full of scriptures, which is what we need to always have when we sharing and defending our faith. We need the Word of God. And so what you are sharing is the faith facts and God's promises, and that is what we stand on. That is the rock. Thank you so much, Pastor. And we look forward to seeing you in August. So you will be with us, and we are excited about that. We are so excited about that.
Thank you so much.
So we will meet each other face to face. Amen.
I would be waiting to visit all of you, meet in person in August.
Absolutely. All right. Praise God. It's wonderful. All right. So now we are going to shift.
Can I take a quick minute, if you will? So,
yeah.
I would like to thank my mentor, Bishop Isaac, for helping me to put through this and guiding me on this. Thank you, Bishop Nathaniel Isaac. Thank you so much for your help and your support on this one.
Pastor Chanel, it's really my pleasure and my honor. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Oh, it's wonderful. Those that you labor among, it's just a blessing. It gives it strengthened it strengthens our spirit to understand that no matter where you are, God is building an army, and he's making us one. He's making us one as a family. So we thank God for your obedience and for your yes. So we want to look at the prayer watch very briefly. We want to look at our consecration. So someone needs to be on the line that's ready to share something about the consecration from week one, week two, or week three. We are currently in week three, where it is the fixed hour fasting, and the consecration commitment for the week is daily soul cleansing. Spend 15 minutes in repentance and transgression cleansing. And it lists a variety of scriptures that we need. And this repentance, I'd like to encourage you, not just for yourself, but also for your family, for your generation, for your community, and for your nation, because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And just as Nehemiah, when he heard the news, and when you hear the news, you realize that error has happened within our generation and past generations, things that we didn't do that we should have done or that we did and we should not have. And he prays that prayer of repentance for himself and for the children of Israel when they were disobedient. So let us pray and intercede for one another, not just to be blessed, but also to receive the cleansing so that we might repent and be vessels of honor. And so we want to look at that generation. And this would be an example of intercessory prayer. Example of intercessory prayer. So that's what we're looking at for this week, an example of intercessory prayer. So in the fixed hour fasting, it was suggested that you could use the prayer watches to kind of direct which hours that you would fast in. So we want to look at some of the focuses of each one of the prayer watches. And then we're going to go to Elder Sherita and then all the questions that may come as a result. So we want to understand that we are told that the prayer of the righteous man is powerful and effective. So we need to know as we pray, we stand watch. We're watchmen over our families, our city, and our nation. Just as man stood on the city walls in the Bible to watch for approaching danger, God calls us to be modern-day watchmen and warn those who are in danger. So we are to watch not only for the enemy's activity, but also for the manifestation of God's plan. That's that word, that manifestation. If we watch for the enemy and announce his activity, we can avert the devil's plan to steal, kill, and destroy what God has for us. Jesus said in Matthew 24:43, but know this, if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken into. So today more than ever, we need the importance of the prayer and the prayer watch and to seek the mind of the Lord so that the kingdom of God can come on earth as it is in heaven. Major decisions that we may have are confronted. We are required in us to know God's individual will for our life. With the Holy Spirit's leading, we can discover God's will and expose the plan of the enemy through strategic prayer, through strategic plan. So we look at the first watch. The first watch is called the evening watch, from 6 p.m. in the evening to 9 p.m. It is a time of quiet reflection. Jesus was often said to retire to the mountain or to the garden to in prayer, a time where he is strengthened through his communication with the Father. It is also the period for covenant renewal with God. Through Jesus Christ, we have a covenant with God. In this watch, we can ask God to manifest the blessings of his covenant into our lives. This is also a time to release judgment on the wicked and decree into the new day God's blessing upon our families, our life, our church, our city, and our nation. And whatever happens during the day is determined to a large extent by what is done during the night. The evening is the foundation of night and the beginning of the watches. So we want to keep that in mind as you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you to your prayer watch. Then the second prayer watch is from 9 to 12 a.m. in the morning. During this watch, intercessors are able to impact the spiritual realm before the energy and the enemy gets ready to wreak havoc. 119 Psalms and 62 says, "At midnight I will rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous judgment. It was at the midnight hour that God struck down the firstborn of Egypt, which resulted in his people being released from captivity and set free to worship him." This watch is a time when God deals with the enemies that are trying to keep us from entering into his perfect plan for our life. We want to remember that. This is the time when the enemy wants to keep us from entering into the perfect plan for our life. In the natural, this time is characterized by deep darkness. In the spirit realm, the second watch is when diabolical assignments and sabotage from the enemy are set in motion. This is why it's important for intercessors at this watch to pray for God's protection over the saints, their families, and their city. Let God arise and his enemies scatter. This is also a time for divine judgment, just as he put the judgment on the Egyptians with the edict that the firstborn would perish. Then we go to the third watch of the day, which is 12 a.m. to 3 a.m. It seems to be the going watch that everybody is picking. And it says, this is a watch of much spiritual activity. This watch hour will strengthen your faith. It is the time that Peter denied Jesus 3 times. They call it the witching hour. This watch is the darkest and most diabolical part of the night, especially at midnight. Witches, warlocks, and Satan have fun and start their incarnations during this part of the night. The devil operates at this time because this is the time that men are in a deep sleep and there are not many people praying to oppose him. This watch calls for seasoned intercessors. So if you found yourself that 3 o'clock hour, that 2 o'clock hour, that 1 o'clock hour, then that's an indication that the Lord is viewing what you do as that of an intercessor. So hone up your focus so that as you pray, you know that it is being effective because you know what's going on and you are intervening on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. The time to set your day before it begins. This is a powerful watch to be on when commanding the morning and setting things in place before the devil and his demons have a chance to ruin it. So we speak and say and declare and decree a certain thing. Planes crash, cars crash, death, and you'll notice a lot of times at night is when people have most of their medical emergencies in that late hour. And so we want to understand this is the sabotage of the enemy, and God does have a plan for us. That is the third watch. Now we are looking at the fourth watch. The fourth watch, they call it the morning watch, is 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. This fourth watch is always important because this is the last watch of the night. This watch is the time that Satan angels who went out to perform their activities are returning to their base. This is the time of the morning when the Israelites were delivered from slavery with the Egyptians. This is also the time that Jesus walked on water. And we looked at that during our consecration to help the disciples who were caught in the storm. This is a time to establish the course of your day by speaking God's word and breaking everything that would attempt to hinder his will for your life, commanding the morning. That is the fourth watch. Okay. Gotta make sure I got these pages right here. All right. I think you're beginning to see that these prayer focuses are intentional, they're purposeful, and that's part of what makes our prayer fervent and effective. Watch. Okay. So, did I say the fourth watch? Yep, we did the fourth. Now we're on the fifth one. Okay. Well, papers got out of order here. The fifth watch. Okay. The fifth watch is from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. It is the time that God strengthens the Christians. It is a time for the Holy Spirit to prepare us for service. The spiritual significance of sunrise is having Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, rise over us. During this watch, pray for such issues as healing in our body and relationships, in our family, in our government, and in our economy. And it's the time, the third hour, is when the Holy Spirit descended in the upper room on the day of Pentecost to equip the disciples for service. Regular work schedules usually began between the hours of 6 and 9. So as you step out, you ask Holy Spirit to equip you for the day. Equip you for the day. Then we go to the sixth hour, which is from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. It is a time for declaring God's promise. This six. A time for declaring God's word. It is a time for angelic activity or intervention, and a time for blessing from heaven. When we pray, the Lord hears our prayers and sends his angels to work on our behalf. And that is the fifth prayer watch. It is okay. And then we have the sixth prayer watch. Okay. Prayer watch. I'm going to declare it a word. God. Then we go to the seventh prayer watch. And we do want you to beseech the Lord so that you can get your prayer watch assignment. Then the seventh watch is midday between 12 p.m. and 3 p.m. 12 p.m. and 3 p.m. Midday is an hour of rest and a time to seek the Lord. During this watch, Christ was on the cross, atoning for the sins of the world and the restoration, restoring man's relationship with God. Additionally, Peter had a vision of the clean and the unclean animal, which God used to let Peter know that God was included in the Gentiles as relationship and redemptive plan as well, praying for those who are yet to come into the family of God. It is a time of the secret place of the Most High, and it's a time of letting your light shine brighter and better. And then you have the eighth prayer watch from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. It's the hour of dying to self and rejoicing in the power of Jesus Christ. Dying to yourself and rejoicing in the power of Jesus Christ. It's the time to see God's promises fulfilled. So it's a time of maturation and manifestation, as well as miracles. It's a time to watch for the word of the Lord to be fulfilled in your life. And you pray this. This is a time that the Israelites got everything that they had to use to build the tabernacle in the wilderness. God fulfilling his promise, things that we need in order to serve him and do the ministry of the kingdom of God. So this is a time to pray for resources, pray for sources, and acknowledging him as the source and the sustainer of whatever ministry we have been committed to. It is also a time to reflect on the power of the cross, that what Christ said when we took communion, as often as you do this, remember me. It's a time to remember what power was given because of the cross of Jesus Christ, of cleansing, of healing, of forgiveness, of strength, and of prosperity. During this time, Christ was sentenced and crucified at the third hour. After having been on the cross for 3 hours, darkness came upon the face of the earth at 12 p.m. and continued until 3 p.m. when the period of darkness ended. Because of Christ's crucifixion, we must crucify the deeds of our flesh, according to Romans 8:12-15. We must take up our cross and commit ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so with each one of these, this is that's the sixth watch, the seventh watch, and the eighth watch is from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. It's the hour of dying to self and rejoicing in Jesus Christ. And then we have the eighth prayer watch going full circle from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. And this is a time that Jesus died on the cross. During this watch, he took up the sins of man so that we could be reconciled to God. Those who accept Christ can now live a triumphant life. So pray for a triumphant life in Christ. Pray the hours that we are created in him and that we are being transformed by him and by the power of his Spirit. And so those are the prayer watches. I encourage you to check your resources on them and pick the one that you feel you're called to and text it to me so that we can put it on the sheet. And we are going to use it periodically throughout the year, actually. so as different events and things come to play, we know the people to call upon that will intercede on behalf of the program that God has for us. And so I'm going to go to Elder Sherita because she's going to have some announcements that you're going to need to take notes of, pay attention to, check your email as it relates to it, and to definitely follow the instructions that she is going to give you. Amen, Elvis.
Hello, everyone. The biggest update is the ADN conference is going to be hosted at a new location now. And the new location is going to be at Bethany Union Church, 1750 West 103rd Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60643. For those of you who booked your room already at the DoubleTree by Hilton, Loud Naperville, which is located at 3003 Corporate West Drive, Loud, Illinois, 60532, this was the original conference site. We are asking you to please cancel your room immediately. To cancel your room, you can call 630-505-0900. And then when you cancel your room, you want to be sure to get the cancellation number for your record. And then this year's theme for the conference is Momentum, Manifestation, Maturation, and Miracles. And that comes from Luke 6:38. It's going to be hosted Thursday, August 15, 2019, through Sunday, August 18, 2019. And again, the new location that it's going to be hosted at is Bethany Union Church, 1750 West 103rd Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60643. The ordination and banquet is actually going to be held on Saturday, August 17, 2019, at the Oaklawn Hilton, and that's at 9333 South Cicero, Oaklawn, Illinois, 60453. Again, it's the ordination ceremony and banquet is going to be hosted on Saturday, August 17, 2019, at the Oaklawn Hilton, 9333 South Cicero, Oaklawn, Illinois, 60453. If you have not registered yet, we are asking everyone to register. You can complete and download the registration form that has been emailed to you. You can submit it back to aen.lfc@gmail.com. You also want to get your payments in. The conference fee is $65 per person, and that does include one banquet ticket. For additional banquet tickets, they are $35 per person. You can pay via Zelle, via Cash App, via credit card. All of the different options that you can make your payment are listed on the registration form. And then if you need overnight accommodations for the ordination service at the Oaklawn Hilton, they are $139 per night plus tax. And to make those accommodations, you can call Apostle Shawnette at 773-779-2900. Does anybody have any questions before I go further? Okay. If not, candidates, just remember that your monthly evaluation form for your accountability partner is due today. So if you have not already submitted it, you can submit those completed forms to Overseer today. And then we do have AEN patches that are available for $25. And the AEN patch is actually the AEN crest. And it goes on your tippet after the ordination service is over. So if you need one, you can email me at Sherita, Sherita, _Tate, Tate, @yahoo.com. And then lastly, accountability partners, just remember to submit your monthly evaluation forms on your candidates and your five examination questions for your candidates to oversee. And that's all of the updates that I have. Hello?
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, are we still on mute? I thought I got cut off. I was like, man.
I'm sorry.
Right, Elder Sharita, none of us was listening. He was talking about herself.
Well, thank you for letting me know. I was listening. Amen. Any questions or concerns? Okay. Then I want to share with you the kind of outline of what your time is going to look like. Our classes will start at 9 o'clock. As she said, Bethany Union Church at 9 o'clock, and there'll be three sessions in the morning, and they go to 12 o'clock. And then there is a break, and you come back at 2, and the last class is over at 4. Then there is the atmosphere release, which will take place at 6:30. In the sanctuary at Bethany Union, and the 4M worship without words will happen on that Thursday. Then that Friday, the format is pretty much the same. We will start at 9 o'clock, and we will go through 12, when we will have our lunch from 12 till 2:30. And to 2 o'clock, yes, 2 o'clock, starts the afternoon. And I have to stress, you need to be there for all of these sessions, okay? That Friday at 2, we'll have one class, actually after lunch, and that class will be preparing you for your exam. And so your exam will start at 3, and it'll be over whenever you guys have finished and completed everything. Again, the worship service starts at 6:30, and the worship service for Saturday will start at 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock Saturday morning, you must be at Bethany Union Church. This is when you will have your anointing service, foot washing, communion, and hands laid on your garments, and that sort of thing. So that is a very important time for you. The anointing service is at 10 o'clock at Bethany Union Church on that Saturday. And then the consecration, elevation, ordination will take place at 4 p.m. at the Hilton Hotel. 4 p.m. at the Hilton Hotel in the probably North Ballroom. And then immediately following that will be your banquet. We have to stress, there may be people coming to your ordination that do not have tickets for the banquet. In order to participate in the banquet, each person must have a ticket. They do not need a ticket to the ordination, but they will have to have a ticket to the banquet. And then on Sunday and remember all of our newly ordained leaders are going to be a part of that worship service on Sunday at Bethany Union Church at 2:30. The fire starters are to come and start for this high praise and worship as we celebrate. We celebrate and send off the leaders that have been prepared for the calling and the ministry on their life. Any questions, comments, or concerns?
Overseer, okay.
Yeah.
Overseer, this is Elder Deborah.
Yeah.
On Saturday afternoon, how are we handling, I mean, are we wearing our garments to the banquet? Do we need to still get a room? Is there a place to change? Or what?
Well, this is going to be your decision as a candidate. You will have to come in your black, whether you got a black suit, a black dress, or your black skirt and clergy shirt. And you will be dressed during the ceremony. In other words, they will put your garbs on you. You will be dressed. And you can proceed into the banquet with garbs on. Or if you choose, and that's something you would have to establish as to how you would want to do that, to change clothes. And that would obviously be, you know, up to you guys.
And is that on an individual basis? Is that on an individual basis?
We can come together as a unit. People email me how you want to do it. Do you want to change clothes? Or you want to have your banquet in your ordained garments? So before the end of next week, before the next meeting, everybody should have emailed me or email me what your preference is, either with your garments for the banquet or without your garments.
Okay, thank you.
Any more questions? Please inform your guests so that they know, in case some of your guests have secured their rooms so that they can definitely close them out at the Lyle location, and they're definitely welcome to establish a room at the Oakland location. Are there any more questions or comments? Remember your assignment.
The same, Mrs.
I have
I'm
a question
sorry?
Over here.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, somebody. That, if someone wants
yeah.
to secure a room at the Oakland, is there a discount or no?
Right, that was my question too.
$139. $139? Yes, I think it's like $15 more than the Lyle. And if you would like to, you can just email Apostle at 773-779-2900. This cuts our cost for the candidate tremendously because of the three nights that you won't have to have in the hotel, just the one night. Actually, I would recommend, but that's up to you guys. That way you would have a place to go and to change. And then afterwards to fellowship with your family and friends and then go to bed and then get up and come to church on Sunday with a late checkout. Everybody has to come up with bare minimum how you want to handle your what you will be wearing. Okay. Again, the garments that you will need to be ordained will have been turned in already during that Thursday or Friday so that they can be consecrated that Saturday morning, but they have to be there before Saturday. Remember, you're marking them, you're putting your names on them, they're in little baggies, if they're small items with your name on it, and they will be brought to the hotel, and don't put your clergy shirt, because you will need to wear that to the hotel with your black pants, black for men, skirts for women, or your dress, your black dress. No embellishment, not on the dress, nor the jacket, no belts that are shiny and glittery. And we're going to have a tremendously awesome time. I encourage you to allow yourself now to get excited. Allow yourself to get excited. It is quite an experience. It is truly an experience. Okay. So, Elder Sharita, any questions? Is Prophet on the line?
I don't know. He's not on the line.
Oh, okay. Who is to close us out today?
Sister Cheryl Salisbury.
Amen. All right, Sister Salisbury, you may close us out today.
Amen. This time Amen. I'm at home, so that's good. I'm not driving.
Amen. Okay.
All right. Most heavenly and gracious Father, Lord God Almighty, we come before you, Lord God, to say thank you, Father God, for the closing of a wonderful and informative class, Lord God. We thank you, Father God, for making everything ready for us, Father God, for us to sit here and marinate on, Father God. We ask right now, Father God, as we consecrate ourselves, Father God, that we be set aside holy, Father God, and justified, Father God, for your glory, O God. We thank you, Father God, for all the candidates, Father God, represented on this call, Father God. We thank you for all of those that imparted into us, Father God, that have devoted their time and dedicated their time to make sure that we meet all the things that we are having made accessible to us, Father God. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. And if there's anyone that wants to do a presentation during our phone conference, just email me or text me so that we'll put you on the schedule. I don't want to forget anybody who was preparing a presentation. And if I have, please forgive me and email me so we can definitely handle that next week. So enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Good night.